And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The U.S. Forest Service has extended its public comment period for a proposed expansion of the Hecla Greens Creek mine by 2 weeks. The mine operates on Admiralty Island in the Tongass National Forest. In March, the Forest Service released an environmental review of four possible plans to expand the mine's waste storage facilities. Project manager Matthew Reese says public response has been mixed so far.
They've been kind of relatively mixed, both in support and not necessarily opposition, but kind of conditioned support, I would say.
It's really an effort on the Forest Service part just to be more engaged in Angoon. It's really an effort.
One of the most common conditions is a closer look at the health of subsistence resources. Environmentalists and tribal officials in nearby Angoon have raised concerns about the mine's potential to spread heavy metal contamination in nearby natural areas. The Forest Service says they're working with officials in Angoon to schedule a hearing for subsistence concerns related to the mine, but it likely won't happen before the end of the extended comment period. In the meantime, the agency will hold a discussion on mine expansion and other activities in and around Angoon this Saturday. There's been turnover in tribal and city leadership in recent years, and the Forest Service has a new supervisor for the Tongass region. District Ranger Michael Downs will lead the upcoming meeting. He says the main goal of the discussion will be to rebuild relationships between the agency and local leaders in Angoon.
It's really an effort on the Forest Service part just to be more engaged in Angoon.
The agency's final decision on the proposed expansion is expected in December. Public comments can be submitted online, by fax, or in person at the Forest Service Ranger Station in Juneau now through May 23rd. The state of Alaska has been asking for a partial stay of a federal court order forcing the closure of commercial salmon trolling for king in southeast Alaska this summer, pending an appeal. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The motion for a partial stay was filed on Monday in the U.S. District Court of Western Washington, which last week ruled that the southeast Alaska king salmon fisheries in both summer and winter were operating in violation of the Endangered Species Act and depriving a small population of killer whales in Puget Sound of a critical component of their diet. The state of Alaska immediately filed notice that it intended to appeal to the U.S. Ninth Circuit. The state was joined by the Alaska Trollers Association in asking for the stay, arguing that if the summer and winter troll fishery seasons are closed, this will have a direct, immediate, and irreparable impact on the economic, cultural, and social fabric of southeast Alaska. The state and the trollers are interveners in the lawsuit on behalf of the defendant, the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is responsible for ensuring the compliance of Alaska's fisheries with federal law. NIMFS hasn't indicated any intention to appeal the ruling and instead issued a statement assuring southeast trollers that the other species they target, coho and chum, were unaffected by the court's order. Additionally, the agency was working expeditiously to resolve the conflict with the Endangered Species Act. The lawsuit was originally brought by the Wild Fish Conservancy of Duval, Washington, to protect southern resident killer whales, which has just over 70 animals remaining. Expert opinion differs on whether the closure of king salmon trolling in southeast will have any effect on their long-term survival. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has yet to determine how and when the commercial troll fishery would open this summer if the court refuses to grant the stay. Alaska is asking for a decision by May 26th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Metlakatla's tribe is using a cultural tourism grant to spread the traditional Tsimshian language around the island's trails. As KRBD's Reagan Miller reports, the $50,000 will be used to educate locals and visitors about traditional plants.
The Yellow Hill and Skaters Lake trails in Metlakatla tempt locals and visitors alike to get outdoors. That's why the local tribe thinks they're the perfect spots to teach about traditional plants in the Tsimshian language. Metlakatla's tribe received a $50,000 grant through the Forest Service and the American Indian Alaska Native Tourism Association. Ramey James is Metlakatla's tourism director. She coordinated the grant, which went out to six tribes around the country this year.
And I said, what the heck? And I decided to apply for the grant.
The grant winners were announced in January. Now, a two-year clock has started to complete a project with the money. In Metlakatla, that means placards at local trails that show traditional plants, their uses, and what they're called in the Tsimshian language.
And it'll have information about it, but then the nice thing about it is it will have our traditional Tsimshian cultural uses for it. So whether it was a food source or whether it was a medicinal source, how we would harvest it, the Shimalyuk name for it.
Metlakatla gets some tourist traffic. Allen Marine Lines takes small groups from Ketchikan over to Annette Island in a catamaran, and small cruise ships occasionally stop there too. The grant will also go toward building a covered seating area for guests coming off of tour boats. James says the new placards in particular will help visitors understand Metlakatla's culture in a deeper way.
And it gives them the opportunity to take a picture of the placard, and then they could go home and talk about it. And it'll help keep our traditional ties alive, because the more people talk about it, you know, things spread by the word of mouth, and the stronger our culture will grow.
And for the year-round residents, the grant means replacing the well-loved boardwalk on Skaters Lake and making it easier for the next generation to learn the language. James says everyone will benefit, especially the youngest community members who use the trails to learn harvesting.
Part of my goal, too, was aiming to help with that, is these kids will have the signs and they'll be able to read more about it, and it will kind of stick with them a little bit better than us just talking about it. And the same with the guests off the boat.
Metlakatla's mayor, Albert Smith, agrees that the grant will benefit the town.
You know, having a safe, healthy place to go hike around is also going to be a big benefit to the community.
Metlakatla Indian Community was the only tribe in Alaska to receive the grant. Other recipients were in Washington, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and California. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
A decision from two large and influential tribal organizations to pull out of the Alaska Federation of Natives has had mixed reactions. Some are shocked to hear that Tlingit and Haida and the Tanana Chiefs Conference have pulled out, while others say they're not surprised. AFN was formed to fight for land claims more than half a century ago and has continued to serve as a powerful voice for Alaska Natives in both state and national politics. Every October, it holds the state's largest convention. Both tribal organizations have cited different reasons for parting company with AFN. Tlingit and Haida, which represents 35,000 tribal members in southeast Alaska, says it no longer needs AFN's advocacy because it had developed its own capacity to advocate its causes. Tlingit and Haida President Chahi Ish Peterson says the tribe still plans to collaborate with AFN.
I don't want it to look like a divorce. I keep using the analogy, we're the kids who grew up and are moving out of the house. We might still come home for a home-cooked meal or to do laundry now and again, right?
We're about really a fifth of the population of Alaska. So if we're going to...
Peterson says the tribe would like to use the money it pays in dues to AFN to focus on region-specific issues. The Tanana Chiefs Conference, which represents villages in interior Alaska, said in a statement that it was ending its membership in AFN to focus on protecting salmon, one of the main resources of food for the region. It says numerous resolutions have passed during the AFN convention over the years, but it's seen little action on steps to protect the Alaska Native subsistence lifestyle. Some longtime leaders in AFN have called the move to pull out a mistake. Paul Ongutuk, an Alaska Native historian, agrees. He worries the benefits of AFN are being taken for granted.
We're about really a fifth of the population of Alaska. So if we're going to influence things, punch above our weight, we have to have a kind of unity that reflects a sense of shared purpose.
In the last 3 years, disputes between regions have arisen during AFN's annual convention. In that time, three regional corporations have pulled out: the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, Doyon, and the Aleut Corporation. ASRC is the state's wealthiest private corporation. Doyon is Alaska's largest private landowner. Ongutuk says these organizations may someday need a group like AFN in a crisis to speak as one voice for the Alaska Native community, and their departure weakens the organization. He said AFN is one of the most influential Native organizations in the nation. But Ongutuk says trouble has been brewing within the ranks for a long time, and says these departures raise questions about the health of AFN.
Is it adapting? Is it reflecting the broad spectrum of interests of Alaska Native peoples and organizations? And by pulling out, it's a way of voting publicly a lack of confidence.
AFN's longtime president, Julie Kitka, says she's withholding comment about the withdrawal from the Federation until after their board meeting next week. Anchorage Deputy Library Director Judy Alledge has resigned. Mayor Dave Bronson announced Alledge's departure in a brief statement on Tuesday, saying her last day will be May 15th. Alledge's departure came hours before the Anchorage Assembly was set to vote on a resolution recommending that the mayor ask for and accept her resignation. The resolution included 3 pages of reasons why Assembly members said Alledge should step down, including her racist comments and harassment. It also cites reporting last month by the Anchorage Daily News and ProPublica about Alledge's inflammatory private and public comments, which also targeted LGBTQ+ legal protections. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 66 and rather sunny. That may end tonight with a low of 44. Tomorrow, expect rain, and that will happen through the weekend. It's just about 5 o'clock. You're listening to KTOO.